I wish that all I ever had to talk about when I preach was grace and love and spiritual blessings and heaven and hope and joy, peace, things of good report. It would make my job a lot easier. If that's all I ever had to talk about and all I ever had to preach about. But unfortunately, there are some things out there that are the direct influence of Satan upon this earth that are very hideous of nature. Things that are alive and well in our society. They're real dangers. And the realities of these things have ripped out the hearts of moms and dads, of children, family members. And included among these things is our topic for this morning, pornography. Pornography is an ugly word. It's an ugly topic. It's something that perhaps we're not that comfortable talking about, even in a private setting, much less a public setting, such as the worship services of the Lord. But nevertheless, it is one of those topics that must not be ignored. This is something that is having such a compelling effect upon our society that we can't afford to not talk about it. This is a terrible sin, one that must be exposed. The morals of our nation continue to erode and decay. Pornography is a moral issue that unfortunately many are viewing as harmless. You and I would never think so. But there are many in this world who would view pornography as harmless. But I want to tell you that our nation is eaten up with dirty-minded perverts. The city halls are filled with records of sex crimes. Fornication is rampant among young people and even middle-aged and older people. Marriages are being destroyed. Families are being shattered. Folks are eaten up with dangerous, deadly diseases. And souls are being lost by the millions. And a large part of this can be blamed upon our topic of this morning, pornography. Pornography is not just found in the dirty movies that we think of sometimes. Pornography is found in magazines. Pornography can be found written on the walls of public restrooms. It can be found in the lyrics of many popular songs. And it can be found to a large degree on the internet. Pornography can even be found in some school books disguised as art or literature. That's putting a pretty face on an ugly picture. Pornography is pornography. I don't care what you call it. When I look at how influenced our society is by this thing called pornography, I think of those words in Genesis chapter 5 and 6 and verses 5 and 6, when God looked down upon man who had become so wicked, so utterly debased, that they weren't even capable, these verses tell us, they weren't even capable of thinking a decent thought. Every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. That's quite a mouthful. But it tells us that man had become so degraded in his mind and in his actions that there was never a moment when even, at least for a moment, a good pure thought entered in. Pornography is doing that to people today. It becomes almost addictive to people, and it clutters their minds so much that they have a hard time concentrating on other things in life, things that are important. What is pornography? Well, pornography can actually be traced back to the first century Roman culture. It's defined as the representation of erotic behavior in books, pictures, statues, motion pictures, etc., that is intended to cause sexual excitement. The word pornography comes from the Greek word porne, which means prostitute, and graphene, which means to write. It was originally defined as any work of art or literature depicting the life of prostitutes. Webster defines it as the depiction of erotic behavior as in pictures or writing intended to cause sexual excitement. Another definition, material as books or a photograph that depicts erotic behavior and is intended to cause sexual excitement. Pornography has been around for a long time. We didn't invent it in America. It's been around a while. And I'm afraid it's going to be a constant thorn in any society, probably until the Lord returns again. One of those spiritual battles that we're going to have to fight. The Ecclesiastic writer wrote in Ecclesiastes 1, verses 9 and 10, "The thing that hath been is that which shall be. And that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun. Is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new. It hath already been of old time, which was before us." Now, even though probably the majority of Americans, if you get out and talk to them, may oppose pornography, there is a lot of argument and discussion and very little agreement by society in general on what should be done about it. What should be done about pornography and how much it is infiltrating our society today. Some feel that any restrictions on pornography constitutes censorship on their First Amendment rights. Others see it as a form of discrimination on the basis of sex. Some have done studies that show that most frequently pornography promotes rape, pain, humiliation, and inferiority as experiences that are pleasing to all women. But listen, however America feels about pornography, and regardless of how the world views it, God's people must appeal to God's word. We have to appeal to the standard laid forth for us in the word of God in regards to this matter. And this morning I want to impress upon our minds the fact that God's word strongly condemns this type of material. Whether it be in written form, whether it be in pictures or photographs, whether it be moving, whether it be still, whether it be found in the lyrics of popular songs, whether it be found in the school textbooks disguised again as arts or literature. God's word condemns pornography. Very quickly this morning, I want us to understand three atrocities of pornography. In the first place, I want us to see the violations of pornography. In Matthew chapter 5, in verses 27 and 28, Jesus made a very interesting statement, a statement which was meant to strike at the heart of sin, literally. The Pharisees seemed to be more concerned about actions, outward actions, outward actions. But Jesus wanted to make the point, you can sin in your heart. You can sin with your mind and with your thoughts. You don't actually have to commit a physical action to be sinning. And he said in Matthew 5:27, "You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart." Jesus' point is, he has committed a sin. He has sinned. He has not physically committed adultery with her. He has not now given her husband the right to put her away. So that's what the Lord's talking about here. He has committed a sin in his heart. The sin of lust. That's the point of the Lord here. Jesus teaches us that not only is the act of adultery and fornication sinful, but the very thought that would cause the act is forbidden and sinful. If we go to the magazine racks in many of the stores today, convenience stores and so forth, We find such magazines as Playboy or Penthouse and many other trashy magazines that are given names that aren't even fit to mention. Disgusting names and titles. And these magazines are big business. They're bringing in a lot of money. And they're bought up by folks who have lust in their hearts. I think of what Peter wrote there in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verses 12 to 14. When he said, "But these like natural brute beasts, made to be caught and destroyed, speak evil of the things they do not understand and will utterly perish in their own corruption, and will receive the wages of unrighteousness as those who count it pleasure to carouse in the daytime, their spots and blemishes, carousing in their own deceptions while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, enticing unstable souls." Eyes full of adultery. You know, women are taught to dress modestly and decently. Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 2. And I want to go back before verse 12. I want to go back to verse 9. Where Paul said, "In like manner also, that the women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with propriety and moderation, not with braided hair, or gold, or pearls, or costly clothing, but which is proper for women professing godliness with good works." I am sickened at heart enough when I go into the Lord's services sometimes and see young ladies wearing things that make me blush to look at them, and ought to make them blush to be wearing it. That breaks my heart. But the women in these magazines that we're talking about are dressed, or I could say undressed, in such a way that causes sexual incitement in those that look at them. And these women, listen, these women are just as guilty as the men who lust after them. Sometimes I've spoken to young ladies about their attire. And the argument that's given, well, if they lust after me, that's their problem, that's their sin, that's their fault. Yes, they have sinned if they lust after you. No one denies that. But you have sinned because you have dressed in such a way to entice that thought. Remember what the Lord said about causing one of these little ones of mine to fall or to stumble? He said it'd be better if a millstone were tied around his neck and he were thrown into the sea. That's pretty harsh. That's the person that caused the person to sin. Young ladies, when a man looks at you, remember Paul said to Timothy there, dress in such a way as to profess godliness. When a man looks at you, is he thinking godly thoughts? Or is what you're wearing enticing something else? Oh, pornography violates. It violates the shamefacedness of women. It violates the decent thoughts of men and women alike. Jesus here in Matthew 5, 28 teaches a far-reaching truth. And this principle applies equally to men and to women, and pornography violates this truth. The violations of pornography. The Lord said in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 12, you remember, "Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets." But pornography portrays the abuse of our fellow man. It glorifies the misuse and abuse of men and women and even children and animals in some cases. Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 22 and verse 39, that the second greatest commandment is to love your neighbor as you love yourself. Listen, porn creators and those who sell the stuff aren't the least bit concerned about their fellow men. They just continue to produce their smut for the sole purpose of making a lot of money with no regard whatsoever to the damage it does to society. into the lives of young people. Instead of being driven by the love of God and love for their fellow men, they're only driven by the love of money. Paul taught in 1 Timothy 6, 9 and 10 that the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, and certainly in the case of pornography, it is the root of the basest kind of evil. Pornography is sinful because it violates the golden rule. Three atrocities of pornography. There are the violations of pornography. And then number two, there's the vileness of pornography. Pornography is lasciviousness. It's a work of the flesh. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 19, the verses that were read for us a few moments ago, Paul begins to give a long list of what he called works of the flesh. And at the end of this list, he said that those who practice these things will not inherit the kingdom of God. And in that list, he says, the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness. Now, I'm reading from the New King James Version. The New American Standard says there in the place of lewdness, sensuality. The NIV, New International Version, says debauchery. The Revised Standard Version uses the word licentiousness. And Jesus taught that this lewdness defiles a man. If you go back to the book of Mark, chapter 7, and notice what Jesus is recorded to have said there, beginning in verse 21. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness. There's our word again, lewdness. An evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness, all these evil things come from within and defile a man. But what is the definition of this strange word, lasciviousness, lewdness, sensuality, debauchery, licentiousness? What's the definition of this word? Well, the Greek word is aselgia. And Thayer defines this word as unbridled lust. Wanton acts or manners, including filthy words, indecent bodily movements, unchaste handling of males and females. W.E. Vine defines it this way. It denotes excess, licentiousness, absence of restraint, indecency, wantonness. The prominent idea is shameless conduct. The English word lasciviousness is defined exciting sexual desires, salacious. And I'll guarantee you this morning that pornography in any form is completely void of any holy thoughts or actions. I don't care what you call it. Pornography encourages a gross lack of self-denial, a gross lack of self-control. The minds and the hearts of those people who want to have any part in pornography have no restraint, and they are condemned by the word of God. Paul said that those who practice such things have no part in the kingdom of heaven. Again, Galatians 5, verse 19 and verse 21. If you turn your Bibles over to the book of Romans, chapter 13, you'll see some more strong words Paul had regarding this, beginning about verse 12, when he said, the night is far spent, the day is at hand, therefore let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly, as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy. Paul says here to Christians, to those who are children of God, don't walk in lewdness and lust. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody sent me an email. Not been quiet 2 years ago now. And I don't know where these polls or where these statistics come from, but this email was supposedly a poll or statistics of church people. And it was taken anonymously. In other words, when you filled out the poll, you didn't have to give your name. You just turned in your answers. And the percentage of those who admitted to looking at pornography on the internet was like 76%. Can you imagine that? 76% of people who claim to be part of Christianity in one way or the other are viewing pornography on the internet. Brethren, I'm going to tell you what, that'll tear you up. That'll destroy you. It'll destroy your heart. It'll destroy your family. It'll destroy your soul. Leave that stuff alone. I know it's easy. I know it's easy access. Don't do it. Leave it alone. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 11, Peter tells folks to abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. Abstain from those things. Pornography is lasciviousness. Pornography promotes fornication. You know, the media of pornography holds nothing back. All conceivable types of unlawful and illicit sexual behavior is shown by these perverted inventors of evil things. The so-called softcore magazines, like Playboy and Penthouse. When I was a child, those weren't considered softcore, but now they're considered softcore. They glamorize and glorify the life of a playboy. And they teach that there's nothing wrong with men enjoying the sexual pleasures of the female without any commitment whatsoever of a lifelong lawful marriage relationship. The hardcore forms of pornography promote things like bestiality and sadomasochism, the idea of pain associated with the sexual relation, homosexuality, prostitution, lesbianism, kiddie porn, and on the list goes. Everything goes. They don't hold anything back. And every single one of these things I just mentioned, listed, are condemned in one word in the Bible: fornication. Fornication is defined as illicit sexual intercourse in general. It condemns all forms of illicit, by that I mean outside the marriage, sexual intercourse. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 21 verse 8 that fornicators have their place in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone. In Hebrews 13:4, the Hebrew writer tells us that the marriage bed is undefiled, but adulterers and fornicators God will judge. Pornography promotes fornication, and the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6:18 to flee fornication. You young people know the story about Joseph when he was faced with a temptation to fornicate. It seems over and over again this woman came to him trying to persuade him. Remember what Joseph did? He turned around and ran away. You take that lesson with you and you keep it in your heart. You run from temptation. Flee fornication. Three atrocities of pornography. There are the violations of pornography. It violates men and women. It violates the Word of God. Principles taught in His Scripture. Then there's the vileness of pornography. They don't hold anything back. They completely exploit and pervert what God created to be pure, the sexual relationship between man and woman, husband and wife. And then thirdly and finally this morning, there is the viciousness of pornography. Pornography dishonors God's marriage law. That should seem obvious. God said in the beginning, as recorded in Genesis 2 verse 18, "It is not good that man should be alone." And so He made woman to be a helpmeet for the man. And if you notice, God, and many have pointed this out, God created for Adam Eve, not Steve. There's a point there. You see, pornography portrays and glorifies homosexuality as if it was a natural thing. I tell people all one has to do is have a basic understanding of the anatomy of a man and a woman to know it's not natural. Homosexuality. God never intended that. God, notice also, only made one woman for Adam. He didn't make extras or spares in case he couldn't get along with this one. I can just put her away and then I'll have another one there. God meant for Adam and Eve to stay together. He intended for them to become one flesh and to cleave to one another and to one another only. You know, there's a world of difference between the cleaving that God commanded and the one-night stands and the live-in partnerships that are glamorized by pornography. A good majority of movies and most primetime programs promote and condone unlawful sexual relationships. Now listen, I want you to get my point here. When you hear the word pornography, or when I use the word pornography, I'm not just talking about the XXX movies you can buy down here at some trashy store or some trashy magazine you can buy. Pornography is on primetime TV. Pornography is portrayed and glamorized in daytime television. Soap operas, for example. You can turn on a movie that's on from 7 to 9 o'clock that your child, if you're not careful, can get his eyes on a regular TV show, not HBO or Cinemax or one of those, but just a regular TV show, and there's a man and a woman almost completely naked. Committing unlawful sex acts right there on your television in your living room. That's pornography. Pornography is vicious. The devil is clever. He has tricks. He has cunning. He knows how to deceive us into partaking in the sin. Sometimes without us even realizing we're partaking in the sin if we're not careful. Hard and softcore pornography flies in the face of the pure God-ordained marriage relationship, and the sexual union is depicted as nothing more than a recreational activity solely to satisfy an out-of-control animal-like desire. The Bible says that the sexual desire is good, and it's God-given, but it must only be fulfilled within the bounds of a lawful marriage relationship. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 2, because of sexual immorality, let each man have his own wife, and let each woman have her own husband. Get married so that you won't commit sexual immorality. Again, Hebrews 13:4, the Bible says that it is only in marriage, within marriage, that the bed is undefiled. That's a reference to the sexual relationship when it talks about the bed. The marriage bed is undefiled. But pornography is so vicious that it gives a whole different picture than this and is therefore condemned by the Word of God. Pornography is destructive just to society in general. Think about the effects on society by the out-of-control AIDS epidemic. Any healthcare worker can tell you heartbroken stories about that. Study cases of men like Ted Bundy, for example. Ted Bundy was a serial rapist and admitted murderer of more than a dozen, or more than two dozen, really, women back in the 70s. Many of you may remember Ted Bundy. Shortly before Bundy was sent to the electric chair, he was granted an interview with Dr. James Dobson. Some of you may have heard of him. And in that interview, Ted Bundy said this. He said, "Pornography can reach out and snatch a kid out of any house today. It snatched me out of my home 20, 30 years ago. There is no protection against the kind of influences that are loose in society." That's Ted Bundy on pornography. Pretty good words. He went on to say, "What alcohol did in conjunction with, let's say, my exposure to pornography was alcohol reduced my inhibitions. At the same time, the fantasy life that was fueled by pornography eroded them further." He also admitted how in the early days he was generally what he called half-drunk, almost without exception, and alcohol diminished his inhibitions when he went on his rape and murder sprees. Now, these are just a few examples of the poisonous, vicious fruit that pornography bears in our society. I realize that not everyone is affected like Ted Bundy was. But his case does demonstrate the destructive, vicious nature of pornography and the effect that it is capable of wielding upon society. In conclusion, let me just say again, don't be deceived or misled. You know, I've talked to young people before who had problems with pornography. And I asked them where it began. You know what they told me? Literature class. Literature class. A lot of teachers defend it as literature. It's literature. It's pornography. I don't care what you call it. And it needs to be abstained from. Pornography isn't just restricted to Skid Row or X-rated sleaze shows. It's in your local grocery stores. It's in the words of the music your children might be listening to. Do you know what they're listening to? It's on the television shows like modern-day sitcoms and especially daytime soap operas. And the internet is filled with it. And those are just a few sources. Pornography is a real problem that we're facing today, and no judicial court decision can ever overrule the divine decision that God has already made regarding it. God's people must live under divine constraint and not under the influence of pornography. Young people, don't ever experiment with it. I'm telling you, you will be impressing upon your mind images that you'll battle your whole life to put aside and to overcome. Without question, the Bible teaches that pornography is sinful in any form. Let us always remember the violations of pornography. The vileness of pornography and the viciousness of pornography. Let's pray.